I just have a short message for you today, and we will go through it. Turn with me, if you have your Bibles, to Luke chapter 2. And if you don't have your Bible, it's going to be up on the screen. Luke chapter 2, and we'll read Dr. Luke's version of the Christmas story. Verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. Everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. Verse 5, to be registered to Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you, that you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Wonderful that Luke gives us all these details. The other Gospels don't give us these details. The other Gospels do not go into the detail that Luke does. And I thank God that Luke actually went through, talked to firsthand eyewitnesses, said, "Hey, what happened here? We want to know more about this." And so I thank God that Luke, in inspiration by the Holy Spirit, wrote these things down for us to know. I want to share with you guys tonight just something that the Lord has been showing me over the last couple of weeks. I've been praying about, hey, what should I share? We've all heard the Christmas story. If you've watched Charlie Brown Christmas, you have heard this. You have heard this version, this rendition for Luke. And so every year we go through it and I pray, "Lord, what would you like your people to know? We know that you came as a baby. But what do you know? What do you have for us this year? What do you have for this congregation?" And I want to share with you guys what the Lord has been saying. That the Messiah, the Savior, was to be born in Bethlehem, the city of David. And we know that because of Micah 5:2. Micah 5:2, it says this, "But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are a little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting." This was actually the verse that they referenced when King Herod said to the wise men, "Hey, how do you know? Where's he going to be born at?" And they said, "Hey, Bethlehem." It's because of this verse we know. And it's so wonderful that 700 years before the birth of Christ, this was written by the prophet Micah. And it says that the Messiah would come and he's from everlasting. He doesn't have a beginning. He doesn't have an end. He's from everlasting. He's always been. And only God has always been, right? And so we know that the Messiah is God from just this verse alone, if not many verses, right? We see that here he is from everlasting. We know that it's Bethlehem. Bethlehem was not a big city in the time of Jesus, but it was known for a couple of things. It was known as being the city of David, right? This is where David came from, the shepherd king. And then it was also known as a place where all of the sacrificial lambs came from. In fact, the surrounding area around Bethlehem, those fields, it was illegal to raise anything else. You couldn't have anything else out there. You couldn't have your own flock out there. It was just the temple sheep. It was the sheep that were meant to die. And that was what was around Bethlehem. And so we see these shepherds here. These shepherds are Levitical shepherds. They're not just plain old shepherds. These are shepherds keeping the sheep that would be sacrificed in the temple. These, as it were, would be shepherd priests, right? They had to be of the priestly line of the Leviticus, recommendation or commandment that the Lord gave. And so these guys are out here tending over these lambs that would atone for the sins of the people. It's really interesting too that as I was studying and looking at some of the things, these lambs were so precious and so important that when a ewe would go into labor, these shepherds would take these ewes into a safe place. And we'll see here, there's actually a tower here, which is an example of what they take these lambs into. And this is an area where you have an overlook up above, and then you have this little hollowed out into the side of the hill there, this cave. Bring the ewes in, and this would be a place that was cleaned out, it was sanctified, it was a place that the sacrificial lambs would come in. It's really interesting that these lambs would need to be inspected for spot and for blemish. You couldn't offer anything to the Lord that had a spot or a blemish in it. If the lamb had a broken leg, if the lamb had a spot on it, if the lamb was not healthy, you couldn't offer it to the Lord. And so this would be the place where they would allow the ewes to be safe, give birth, and it'd be clean in an environment. And they would take the baby lamb, wrap the baby lamb in the swaddling clothes, and then lay it in a manger. Not just where the food was, they would lay it in a clean stone manger so that this baby lamb would not get stepped on by the mom, not get bruised, not get damaged. It was for protection. So not only do we have a manger for the food, we have a manger for the protection of this little lamb right after this lamb was born. And so this is what you're looking at here. I'll have him throw up a picture of a manger. Also think of the wooden mangers. This is what a manger would look like. This stone manger that would be inside there, hollowed out, perfect for food, but also perfect for a little baby. It looks like a crib. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. A little side note, those little swaddling clothes that they would wrap these temple lambs up with, they would have been discarded remnants of the priestly robes that were worn in the temple. So when that started getting a little raggedy, you didn't want to go present for the Lord with something that had a hole or that was tarnished. You would discard those priestly robes, tear them into strips, and then use those to wrap these newborn lambs. And so we see this incredible picture that God is painting with his son. Something that had been brought to my attention this last week was a place called Migdol Eder. And I had never heard of it. I think most Christians have never heard of it. I'm like, what the heck is that? It's translated the Tower of the Flock. And that's what that represented. That's a tower of the flock. It's a tower where they would look over the flocks by night. They'd bring the flock in. But there was a specific place called Migdol Eder. And it was referenced, actually, that same verse that the wise men referenced where, hey, we know it's going to be Bethlehem. Just a couple verses before that, in Micah 4:8, and you'll see it up on the screen, Micah 4:8, it says this. It says, "And thou, O tower of the flock, Migdol Eder, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come, even the first dominion," the first coming. "The kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem," which we believe is Mary, right? His first coming would come at this place. It actually gives the specific place, Migdol Eder. And then it says, yes, it will also be in the city of Bethlehem. Migdol Eder traditionally has been a place that is right on the outskirts of Bethlehem. It was a historic tower. It's referenced in Genesis as a place where Jacob camped. He camped right there. And he says right after Jacob passed Bethlehem, he stopped at Migdal Eder and camped there right after he buried Rachel. And so we know from old that it was an actual place. It's been lost to history where exactly it was, but we know that the Messiah would come to Migdal Eder. And we know that he would come to Bethlehem. And so this idea that, well, Jesus was born in this stable, I would challenge that. We don't know for sure, but I would say Migdal Eder was one of those towers. It was a tower that was an old fortress. It was an old protected place. And they brought in the lambs to be born there. If you had no place to go have a baby and you're out there, you have no place to stay, and you passed maybe this tower on the way, you go, you know what? Maybe we could go back to that tower and have the baby there. It would actually be clean in the inside because you're bringing forth these lambs there that had to be sanctified. And so it would have been a clean environment, a place with a built-in crib, a place with swaddling clothes, even their old priestly garments. There's everything you need to have a baby in this place. And so we see this cool picture that the Lord is painting. Luke chapter 2, I'll draw you to this. In Luke chapter 2, what we just read in verse 10, it says, "Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring to you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.'" How is that a sign if every baby was wrapped in swaddling clothes? They weren't. Laying in a manger? They weren't. It was a sign to these shepherds because these shepherds had birthed these lambs, wrapped these lambs up, put them in these safety places, these mangers, and then priests had inspected them for blemish. And so they go, hey, this will be a sign to you. Now you're going to see a human like this. You're going to see a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes in a manger. And so I believe that they thought, oh, we know where that takes place. Brought forth all these lambs. We know exactly. It's at Migdal Eder. It's at the place where we bring in all the ewes. Let's go straight there. And it says that they went there with haste. Verse 16 of Luke chapter 2, it says, "And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger." They knew exactly where. They came with haste. They didn't go through Bethlehem, knocking on every door, barging into every stable, looking to see if there was a baby in a food trough. I believe they knew exactly where this picture was taking place, where the Lord was painting a picture of his sacrificial lamb right there at Migdal Eder. That the Lord was painting this picture, and he said, okay, it's happening here, shepherds. And these shepherd priests knew exactly where to go. They came and they saw the baby lying in a manger. Tonight, as we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, our King coming into the world, may we remember that God has provided a lamb. He's provided a lamb for us, a lamb spotless and without blemish, fulfilling all of the details of Scripture, wrapped in priestly robes, first visited by shepherd priests. And he became the good shepherd, born in a town called Bethlehem, the house of bread. He says, I'm the bread of life. God is so interested in the details, especially when he's painting a picture of his son. The deeper you dig into Scripture, the more you see the Lord with every little detail saying, this is my son. This is the picture I'm painting of him. And the deeper you dig, the sweeter it gets. And you see this in Scripture, you go, Lord, wow, what a picture you painted of your lamb, your son, that would come into the world and be a sacrifice for us to be the Holy One. Tonight, the Lamb of God has come to take away the sin of the world. We'll throw up, I think there's a picture of a lamb somewhere on here. And that was what they would have been looking for when they came into those places, when they would have given birth to those little lambs. They're looking for a little lamb like this, without spot or blemish. And yet when they went in there, they saw the lamb without spot or blemish to be the sacrifice for us. May we remember what this is all about. This is about Jesus, about God humbling himself in the form of a child, being born in a manger, being born, placed in a manger for us. May we remember that. And the scripture says that he came to be our sin. Just like those lambs were the covering for the nation of Israel, he came to be the covering for us, the permanent covering, the permanent solution to sin. And so tonight we remember the Lord and the living and risen Savior. Amen. Lord, we just thank you so much for the picture that you have painted for us. Your word is living and powerful. We're so blown away by the picture that you paint, even in the details of where your son was born. This incredible place with priestly garments discarded. This place where the inspection of the lamb would take place. And Lord, we just pray that we would check our hearts. Are we fully trusting in you? Are we resting our hope on the spotless lamb tonight and every day? And I pray that this Christmas we would remember who you are. Lord, we love you and thank you for coming into this world. In Jesus' name, amen.